You know, it's common that when you go to a sporting event or on college game day, you would see somebody holding up a sign similar to this. Now, I understand this isn't real pretty. I should have called Amanda and asked her to do it for me. I'm not much of a sign maker. But we all know this scripture. I mean, we learn it at a real young age. And you can, if I was to start out and say, sorry, honey, is that better?
Every woman out here is
all right, I got it. So if I was to say to you this morning, for God so loved the world that that whosoever give yourselves a hand. We all know that. And for many of us, that's the scripture that is used so many times in sharing the gospel. That we tell people, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you believe that, then you can have eternal life. Right?
Yes.
But what about this sign? Now, how many of us know what this sign is? How many of us know and can quote from heart what this scripture verse is? Huh? Whoops.
Let him deny himself.
And your man would come after.
How many of you looked it up? Well, let's go ahead. Let's turn to Luke 9:23. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it says, if anyone, so that's me.
That's me.
Would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And some translations say daily. It is something that we have to understand is that's Jesus himself speaking to us. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, that he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. All three. So how does that match up with John 3:16? Because the sad thing is that we tell people all the time, you know, John 3:16, if you will just believe, you can have eternal life. That doesn't say anything about changing your life at all. And so what happens is that a lot of times people are saying that prayer and believing it's settled. I don't have to change my life. I don't have to change anything. I just got to believe. Well, the problem with that is that in James, and in let's see, in James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. That's good. Okay? But the demons believe and they shudder. So wait a minute now. All I got to do is believe and I can go to heaven, but the demons believe and they shudder, but the demons aren't going to heaven. So what's the difference? Are you following me?
Yes.
It's sad that so many times we see this where people just have to believe. We tell them, you just have to believe. You just have to believe. No one that I have ever seen paints this scripture at a game. Amanda, have you seen this at college game day?
No, I watched college game day.
Huh? No, never have. I haven't either. Because this doesn't sell.
Amen.
It's going to be hard to recruit Christians using this verse. Am I right?
Yes.
Christians follow the Lord by imitating his life and obeying his commands. We must deny our selfish desires to use our time and money our own way and to choose our own direction in life without regard to Christ. Listen to me, church. Following Christ is costly.
Yes, it is.
The gift of salvation is absolutely a free gift. It is a free gift. Do you hear me? You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't change your life enough to get it. There's nothing that we can do to purchase eternal life. It's a free gift. But it'll cost you everything.
Yes, it will.
We say, Mike, you're contradicting yourself. Yeah, I am. Because the truth is, when I just say the fact that it's a free gift, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't do enough things right to get it, that's all true. But if I am going to choose to follow him, then I've got to deny myself,
yes,
pick up my cross, and follow him. Those are the requirements for true salvation. People are willing to pay a high price for something they value. Is it any surprise that Jesus would demand this much commitment from his followers? As I talked about already, there are at least three conditions that must be met for people who want to follow Jesus. The first one that we're talking about is deny self. So you might say, I really like Jesus, but I really don't feel like serving the poor. I really like Jesus, but I'm not real big on this idea of going to church. I really like Jesus, but my resources are spoken for. I love Jesus, but don't ask me to save sex for marriage. I love Jesus, but don't ask me to forgive that person that hurt me. Or how about this? I love Jesus, but I'm not 100% committed. It's kind of like the person that says, I am a committed vegetarian. I'm only going to eat vegetables. But boy, I sure do like sausage. Doesn't make sense. I'm a committed follower of Christ, but don't ask me to give up this. I've got certain desires that I can't help, and so I don't have to give that up. The second one that he says is to take up your cross. And for a person or a disciple to pick up his cross and follow him, you would carry the cross to the place that you're going to die. Right? So this says to me, I have to crucify myself. I have to crucify my flesh. I have to crucify my selfish desires. Oh, Mike, you're asking too much. I didn't ask you, Jesus did. It's the words that he gave us that he was very, very clear in. If you're going to follow me, if you desire to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Does this belong to anybody?
No, but I have one.
I saw this the other day, and I was preparing this message, and I put it in the pulpit. I said, I'm going to use that. Can you imagine having that driven through your wrist or through your feet? What's that?
It hurts just looking at it.
Yeah, it does. for us as disciples of Jesus Christ to identify with Christ's message, it means even to death. You know, I know this isn't a real good feel-good message, but y'all can shout hallelujah at any point.
Hallelujah.
What does it look like for the third point to follow him? What that means for us is that, very simply, whatever, whenever, and however. You know, in Proverbs, it says, in Proverbs 16:9, it says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. One of my board members told me this one day, and I had been sharing with him some of the plans for the ministry and what we were looking at wanting to do. And he said, you know, Mike, Proverbs says, a man's mind plans his ways, but God orders his steps. And I said, yeah. And he said, do you know Jesus never planned his ways? Jesus said, I only say and do what my Father tells me to say and do. He only went where God told him to go. And so for me personally, it meant, okay, I'm not planning my ways anymore. I'm going to wait to hear what God wants me to do. Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to say? And where? Where would God want me to go? Because being a committed follower of Christ says, God, you're in control. I'm not. God, I yield to you fully because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Are y'all getting this? What we have to understand is John 3:16 is a very, very important verse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's powerful in and of itself. For God so loved the world that he gave. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. And none of us can really understand that kind of love. Because as much as I love this body and the people that are here today, I'm not giving one of my children or grandchildren for any one of you. But God did.
Amen.
God gave his one and only so that we could be returned into fellowship with him. That was his desire. When he started this whole thing back in the garden, his desire was to have fellowship with man.
Yes.
He gave us a free will because he didn't want robots. He wanted us to want to be with him.
Yes.
So the whole word believe takes on a different kind of definition. Because believe is that I desperately want to be with you, God. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to be able to be with you and to walk with you, to have fellowship with you. We know that that was God's desire because the scripture says that he walked in the garden with Adam. He had fellowship with Adam. Right? That's his desire. But then we read Luke 9:23, and that verse emphasizes lordship. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to understand, church, is John 3:16 and Luke 9:23 is a package deal.
Amen.
You don't get one without the other. In order for us to have true fellowship with him, we are willing to lay down our lives, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him.
Yes.
Well, how do I know how to follow him? Well, he tells us in his word. So we've got to spend time in his word, learning his heart and his desire, and then we choose to follow this. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
This is about a relationship. I tell people all the time when Wendy and I are ministering to couples that if you could take the Word of God and condense it down into a one-word definition, I believe that word would be relationship. Because God is all about relationship. He tells us in His Word about relationship with one another and about relationship with Him. And to me, that's the essence of this book. But how do I have relationship with Him? He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So His divine power has granted unto us everything, the word everything, pertaining to life and godliness. So that means I get everything that I need to have relationship with my wife. I get everything that I need to have relationship with James. The people I go to church with, the people I work with, right? My children, everything that I need to have that kind of relationship. And godliness, my relationship with Him. And it says, has, past tense, been granted unto us. How? It's right there in that verse. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us. So as we spend time with Him, we get everything that we need to do everything that He's called us to do. How's that make you feel, Chuck? You got everything you need to have a relationship with her. Y'all into that, right? Everything that you need. He's given it to us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Through the true knowledge of Him. And so what is our requirement? We have to spend time with Him in His Word and in prayer, listening for His voice and being obedient to what He tells us to do. That's how we demonstrate our love for Him, is through obedience, folks. Follow Him. Well, I don't know how to follow. It's right here. Do y'all see that? It's right here. He gave it to us. Abraham was referred to as a friend of God. Why was Abraham referred to as a friend of God? Because Abraham spent time knowing God. He studied God's principles. He studied the character of God, and he pursued it with his life. He gave up his desires. Oh my goodness, he was willing to give up his son. Abraham, take your son Isaac, whom you love, right?
Yes.
And give him as a sacrifice unto me. So he goes through the whole thing. He gets all the way to the place where he prepares an altar. He ties up his son and lays him on the altar and raises the knife. And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, not now, God, I'm busy. Aren't you glad he stopped?
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Brothers and sisters, I hope that as I've shared this message with you today, that you can grab a hold of the truth. That being a follower of Jesus Christ is not just in word. It's not just in going to church. It's a lifestyle change.
Amen.
It's a lordship relationship. Of what it is to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. And if you need prayer after the service, James and Judy will be up front here to minister to you. Yes. Yeah.
When we were singing that song, God just laid on my heart. We heard a guy share his testimony last night. And he was in a recovery program, and in his bag, he had some type of tobacco, chew tobacco or something. Mm-hmm. And God put on his heart to surrender it, mm-hmm. to hold it up. Now, he was in a program, and he knew that if he surrendered, they could kick him out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God said, I have plans for your life but I can't use you, can't do what I need to do through you until you surrender. Mm-hmm. And he ended up reaching in his bag and holding it up and surrendering it. And that was the beginning of the launch of his ministry. And they didn't kick him out of the program. He was obedient to what the Lord told him to do, and God blessed him. And he shared over and over again about all the ways God blessed his life from that point forward. So I heard a pastor say one time, God won't deliver you from your pets.
That's right.
And all of us can have stuff that's our little secret thing we're hanging on to. Everything but this, Lord. And yet, if he asks us to surrender, He's faithful. He's got a call and a plan.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
It just makes me think of a cartoon or a meme that has been making the rounds. The little girl, she's standing there, she's crying, she's holding on to her teddy bear, obviously her safe place and her comfort zone. And Christ is looking at her crouched down, this great big teddy bear behind him that is twice her size and brand new. And he says, but what I have for you is so much more. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is give me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, that's exactly.
Amen. Amen. That's so powerful.
Amen.
I think about when Jesus fed the 5,000, and there was a boy there that had, I think it was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it up, and then there were like 7 baskets full collected after everybody ate. Can you imagine him going home and telling his mom that story? She says, how was your lunch, son? He was, oh, mom, let me tell you. I brought home some leftovers. Right? You can't outgive God. If we surrender our lives to him, he has so much bigger plans for us. There's so much more that he wants to do in our lives if we are willing to surrender.
Amen. Amen.
James, you got anything?
Amen, brother.
All right, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is to share today's message with your people. And I do pray, Lord, that this word would be branded on our hearts.
Yes.
Father, that we will not leave here the same as we came in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that if there's anybody here that has never made Jesus Lord of their life, that today would be the day that they would understand fully. It's not just about belief, but it's about lordship. And so, God, I pray that today would be their day to surrender. I pray a blessing over all the people of this fellowship, Lord God, that you would go with us, take us to our home safely. And I do pray a blessing over the week to come, Father, that we would all be receivers of your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.